Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is so good to see you today. Welcome to Grace. Thank you for being here. Thank you to those who are joining us online. We are so glad that you are here today. And also welcome to anybody that may be here that is new. We welcome you today. We're so happy that you are here. So this morning, I shared with you a couple weeks ago that I wanted to just do a few messages that were just kind of one-off, that were messages that would really be more about encouraging, just hopefully some words to encourage you. We've been through some very challenging times, and we continue to, and I want to just try to share something that I hope will be encouraging to you. So this morning, I want to talk to you about something that we all deal with from time to time, and that is the issue of worry. Anybody? Worry. You're anxious, apprehensive, you're fearful, you're troubled. Inside you feel like you're twisted like a knot, you're being pulled apart. What is worrying you? What is weighing you down? What keeps you up at night? What is constantly running through your mind? What is causing you to stress out? What is robbing you of your joy and your strength? You know what's funny about worry? There are times that worry sinks its tentacles, its hooks deep into us, and we don't even realize that it has impacted us and that we are in its grip. And I know this is true because it's happened to me. All the signs of worry are there, all the things that are that would say, everybody around you looks and they go, man, they're just worrying about this thing. I mean, everybody else can see it, but you don't even realize that worry is driving your behavior and what you're doing. We know something isn't right, but we don't recognize the sign. So the question I want to ask you this morning as we consider worry, the title of the message is Why Worry, and I'll explain that in a moment. But the question I want to ask you is how do you handle worry? When you deal with things that are on your heart and on your mind and you begin to worry, how do you handle it? Most of us would probably answer, well, not well, right? We don't handle worry well. We have a variety of mechanisms that we have developed to cope with worry. Taking a nap, eating, a candlelit bubble bath, going for a walk or a run, eating, applying some calming sense, you know, to help you relax, some calming sense, working out at the gym, eating some more. Telling ourselves, this is a real popular one, telling ourselves, don't worry, you don't have to worry, stop worrying, stop, don't worry, because Jesus said don't worry, right? So don't worry, so I'm not going to worry because Jesus said not to worry, and we try to convince ourselves not to worry, you know, we, don't worry, be happy, does that help? And then, or Hakuna Matata, right? It means no worries, right? So it's all good. We how do we handle these things? We handle them, obviously, in a variety of ways, and that's just a few. And I'm not suggesting that any of those things are bad. What I am wondering, though, is just how effective they are at helping us deal with the things that worry us. Have you ever talked yourself out of worrying? If you have, would you raise your hand? A few people. Yeah, it usually doesn't work. We try to talk ourselves like, because you know, hey, everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to turn out all right, so you don't need to worry, right? Rob, you don't need to worry. And you still worry. Did the burning of the candles, the dimming of the lights, running a nice hot bubble bath and listening to soft music, did that help you ease your worries? Or did you think enough happy thoughts? You know, it makes me think of Hook, Robin Williams is playing the grown-up Peter Pan. And he's there trying to think happy thoughts so he can fly, you know, and it's just not working. And so you want to think happy thoughts so you can fly over your worries. Well, I guess the question is, did it work? Maybe. Maybe for a time. What is it? What has you anxious for today and fearful of tomorrow? What has you anxious for today or fearful of tomorrow? This morning we're going to look at something that Jesus said, and I'm so glad that Jesus speaks to the things that worry us. What he says is so important. I'm actually going to do this a little bit differently, and I hope you'll bear with me. What I want to do is I just want to read his words together. But I'm going to stop at certain points of what he is saying, And I'm just going to pause, and it's going to feel really, really weird for me. I don't know how it'll feel for you, but it'll be really weird for me to be up on stage and it just be. But I want to give us that moment of pause so that we can think about, think through, and meditate on what it is that Jesus is saying, and specifically what it may be he is saying to us. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Jesus talks about worry. Here's what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Then Jesus concludes, and he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And to that we could all say, amen, amen. When we begin looking at this, one of the things that we see instantly off the bat, and let me just encourage you, if you're dealing with something that's got you in worry, maybe you're a worry wart, would you take some time this week to read through this, ponder, listen, meditate, think on, think through what Jesus is saying? Because as you will do that, what will happen is the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you, and he will comfort you, he will encourage you, he will open your eyes to what Jesus is saying and help you to do what Jesus said not to do. And that's not to worry. Jesus says, do not worry. That's a command. But why? Why do we worry? Well, I think really the reason we worry is because there is something that matters to us, right? We worry about things that matter to us. I mean, we're not worried about a plastic cup because that doesn't matter to us. But our child, our job, our finances, or some other personal issue that we may be struggling with, that matters to us, and that's why we worry over it, because it matters to us. Well, Jesus gives us a clear reason here why we should not worry. And it's because of the fact that God cares and he is concerned for you. We know that God is cares and is concerned for you because he cares and he's concerned for the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. And Jesus is very clear, we are more valuable to God than they are, and yet he provides for their needs. God feeds the birds. When I say that, I, the whole time I've said this, and every time I've gone through this, my mind goes to Mary Poppins. Feed the birds, tuppence. I'm sorry, it just does that. See, the birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away, but somehow God graciously, consistently provides for their needs. Such is his care. And Jesus drives the point home. Won't he also care for us because we have greater value to him than them? Of course. And the flowers in the field, the lilies. Solomon, if you know anything about Solomon's reign, it was a time of pomp and circumstance. It was wealth. And Solomon would be just with incredible splendor in his dress. And yet Jesus says that if you look at the lilies in the field, these wild flowers, for all of his pomp and circumstance, he cannot begin to match. Solomon, King Solomon could not begin to match the splendor with which God provides and clothes the flowers. And they're here today, and then they dry up, and people use them for fire, for cooking food. Don't you think that your Father in heaven, if he cares for them, that he also cares for you and will provide for you? Of course. And the reason why is this. What matters to you matters to your Heavenly Father. I want you to know that. If it matters to you, it matters to your Heavenly Father. There is no issue, there is no need, there is no circumstance, there is no problem that is too big or too small to escape his notice or that is outside of his love, care, and concern for you. Isn't that good news? If it matters to you, it matters to your Father in heaven, no matter how big or how small it is. Now, Jesus asks us a really big question, and it is a question we ought to ponder, because it really strikes at the heart of this issue of worry. He says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Anybody, has worry ever added anything good, positive to your life? No, not at all, right? No, it doesn't bring any benefits. It's never helped you. It's not ever brought anything good. It's never brought something positive out of your life. When we worry, what we're doing is we're asking, what if? What if it goes this way? What if it goes that way? But we always assume that however it turns out, that it's not going to be good. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you do when you worry? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. What if? And it's always something bad. That's always the outcome. That's always the conclusion, because that's the way it works. It assumes the worst. It assumes a bad outcome, and it fears the worst. Worry does not lift up, it weighs you down. Worry does not lighten the load, it makes it heavier. Worry does not give you strength, it weakens you. Worry does not enhance you as a person, it actually exacerbates the problem. It never adds anything good to your life. Worry is a parasite that feeds off of you. And it will sap you of vital strength, resources, and it will drain you of all that you need to face whatever it is that is before you. Soren Kierkegaard said this, and I think this just really sums up the reality of worry. He said, no grand inquisitor has in readiness such terrible tortures as anxiety. And you know it's true, because it has kept you up at night. It has weighed on your heart. It has made you sick to your stomach. It has pushed you to your limits physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It has framed your attitude negatively. It causes you to assume the worst. It has kept you waiting. This is what happens when you become engulfed and ingrained by worry. When it has got a hold of you, what happens is you just keep waiting for the next shoe to drop. In other words, you're just waiting for the next bad thing to happen. You don't ever expect anything good. You just expect something bad. And listen, here's what happens. When our insides are all twisted, contorted, and bound up that way because of worry, it doesn't take much to upset the apple cart. It doesn't take much to upset us to make us explode. It doesn't. When we're all twisted and bound up inside by worry, people do something and it just nudges us just enough, and we will explode in anger on them, or we'll just explode in tears because worry has gripped our heart and our soul. You see, worry doesn't add to our life. It takes away. Jesus reveals something very important about worry that we need to know, we need to take to heart, we need to understand, we need to realize. Worry is a spiritual matter. Worry is a spiritual issue. Well, I know it's affecting me mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and that's true. But when you begin to really realize what worry is, at its heart, worry is ultimately a spiritual issue. Yes, it impacts you mentally, emotionally, and physically, but it all flows from the spirit of the person. Matthew 6:30, Jesus said, if that is how... Are y'all okay this morning? Okay, I'm sorry. Just kind of quiet, you know. Like, did I put everybody to sleep? Or did they just all die at one moment? You're just never sure. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:30. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, I'm going to prove to you it's a spiritual matter, okay? If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, he's talking about how he gives them greater splendor than Solomon ever had, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, a cooking fire. Will he not much more clothe you? What does he say? Oh, you of little faith. In other words, worry is a spiritual issue. You're dealing with a spiritual problem. You think your problem is that thing. Your problem is what's happening in your spirit. It's the struggle that you're having in your spirit. Jesus says, you're little faith. I am little faith. And that's people who give in to worry and demonstrate little faith in God's care and provision for them. And listen, it depends on what your faith is in. You may have cause to worry if you're trusting in, if you're believing in, if your faith is in the wrong thing. You may have every reason to be concerned and to worry. But if God is your heavenly Father, and Jesus has been clear throughout this teaching that he knows your needs and he will provide for your needs. If your faith is in your heavenly Father, Jesus is telling us that you have no cause or need to worry. It's a human response, sure. But because we are God's children, we should be different. We shouldn't be, like Jesus said, like pagans. And you know what? Pagans simply means people who do not know God. They don't know God as their Father. They are, you know, you're not his child. And so you're running around. And it's up to you to take care of your life and to pursue your things and to take care of your kingdom. It's all on you. And if that's the case, you have reason to be troubled. You have reason to worry. But if God is your Father in heaven, and he has promised to not only love, care for you, but to provide for your needs, then worry makes no sense. How could we think that God's not going to provide for us? See, if you're a parent, let me ask a question. How many parents we got here today? If you're a parent, does your child ever walk around going, oh, man, are my parents going to feed me today? Are they going to give me clothes to wear? Are they going to take care of my needs? We don't do that. That doesn't happen, does it? Why? Because they know that you love them and that you are going to provide for them. How much more is that true of our Father in heaven? Whatever your need may be, how much more will he not provide for you? You know, someone said this, worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. And that sums it up pretty well. By the way, yesterday we had something funny happen. Samuel went to the door of the bedroom. Charmaine was in the room, and he wasn't going, "I'm worried about whether or not you're going to feed me." He just went, "It's time to eat. Get me some food, woman." You know, that wasn't actually his attitude, so please don't take that literally, you know. Worry. And when worry consumes us, what happens is our focus begins to narrow. Let me say that again. When worry begins to consume us, when it gets a hold of us, our focus begins to narrow. And what I mean is this. All you think about is what worries you, right? I mean, that's what's constantly on your mind. And you stop seeing the good things around you. You stop seeing the good things in your life. You stop seeing the blessings of God. You stop seeing what you have. You stop seeing God's care and provision. All you see and all you're focused on is this one issue, what you're worried about. And listen, if God isn't going to take care of you, who does it fall to? It's you. It's totally on you. And that's a heavy weight to bear. And when you do that, you don't have time to prioritize God's kingdom because worry has so consumed you, you have no focus on God's kingdom. You have no focus on the fact that God said he would provide for you. You have to take care of it yourself, and therefore you cannot prioritize God's kingdom. And yet Jesus precisely told us that's exactly what we ought to do. Instead of running after things and trying to make it happen for ourselves. And look, this is not an excuse to be lazy. This is not, so please don't, you know, this doesn't mean we don't have care and concerns. We do have care and concerns. But when something gets, see, I've experienced things, and I've had people share with me cares and concerns, and it has weighed heavy on my heart, and I've prayed, and I have cried, and I have called out to God. But it's not a worry, it's a care and a concern. Do you see the difference? A worry is something that consumes you. It's what if. It's always negative. And so Jesus tells us that we are to seek first, but seek first. Instead of running after all these things like pagans do, people who do not know God will do. Instead of doing that, he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. What happens then? All these things will be given to you as well. See, worry is evidence that the kingdom is not your priority, that God's kingdom is not first in your life, that you are a person. And I've been here, so it means that we're a person of little faith. We're not trusting in God's provision and care for us. But instead of running after the things that worry us, Jesus says, don't worry and seek God's kingdom first. Now, there is only one reason you and I will be able to put aside that care and concern that would normally worry us and seek after God's kingdom. And the only thing that will do that is knowing that God has already said he's going to take care of it. And because God said he's going to take care of my needs and my concerns, that frees me up to pursue his kingdom and his righteousness. I can prioritize him because God has already prioritized my needs. Does that make sense? See, I don't have to worry because it's taken care of. And because it's taken care of, my resources are not about taking care and meeting my needs. Now I can focus on God and God's kingdom and his righteousness and what he wants me to do and becoming the person that he wants me to be. See, trusting in God's care and provision is the antidote to worry. Worrying will keep you from putting God's kingdom first. But when we have a kingdom focused, it will calm our fears. If we have kingdom awareness, it will remove our anxiety. Making God's kingdom a priority means that my kingdom, I know that my kingdom is cared for. And see, worry will give way to confidence. Anxiety will give way to assurance. And fear will give way to faith. Jesus said, don't do this, don't worry, don't run after these things. Your Father knows you need him. You're more valuable than the birds and the grass. He's going to take care of you. Don't be like the pagans, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are free to seek God's kingdom because God has promised to provide for our needs. So understand, worry is, above all, a spiritual issue. Jesus concludes his comments, and I'm wrapping up my message today. You're welcome. He says these words, "Therefore, because of everything I just said, because everything I just said is true, because your Father loves you and He cares for you, He's concerned about you, because He provides for the birds of the air and He provides for the lilies of the field, because you're His child, don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It's amazing how much energy we spend about tomorrow when tomorrow is not even promised us. That which we need for today, God gives us our daily bread. He gives us what we need for each day. And how sad it is that we allow worry to get into our hearts and lives, and we expend what He's given us for today over tomorrow, when tomorrow's not guaranteed. Tomorrow may not be as bad as you think. Tomorrow may be worse than you think. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You just got today. God has provided for you and I today. Why waste it on tomorrow? It makes no sense. Why would you spend today's resources on tomorrow? But that's what worry will cause us to do. And it really is a waste of our time and our resources and of God's provision. That person, Anonymous, said this as well. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Let me say that again. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. So I asked at the beginning, and I want to ask again. What has you anxious for today and fearful of tomorrow? What has you anxious for today or fearful of tomorrow? What is that worry? Would you just identify? You don't need to say it out loud, but just call it what it is in your heart, in your mind. What is that worry? What is that thing that is weighing on you, that is tearing you up, tearing you down, tying you in knots, causing you to struggle? What is that thing? This wouldn't be a very helpful sermon if I didn't give you some direction to deal with this spiritual issue. So I want to just close with giving you a few directions that may be helpful as you deal with this spiritual issue. And worry is a spiritual issue. First thing that I want to tell you to do is this: to seek God's kingdom first. That's what Jesus said to do. But seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. Put Him first in your life. Prioritize Him above everything else. And listen, the only way you and I can do that is if we are assured deep inside, we have this assurance that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God is concerned about our needs, and that He has promised to meet our needs. If we don't believe that about our Father in heaven, then we're not going to prioritize the kingdom. So we have to understand, this is the outflow of understanding who God and what God is like and what it means to have God as our Father in heaven. It means then when we really know this, when we really understand this, when we're really assured in this fact of His love, His care and concern, that He takes care of the birds of the air, He takes care of the lilies of the field, and we're more valuable to Him than those things are, then that frees us to, first of all, to seek His kingdom. God, what do you want me to do? Yeah, I know about this worry, but I'm trusting you. What do you want me to do? And I mean, it literally is. That's what I'm talking about doing. What do you want me to do? What is it you have for me today? And the second thing I would tell you, not only to seek God's kingdom first, but the second thing is to pray to your Father in heaven. Pray. 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 Pray, not just, you know, we're like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about really getting away, getting quiet, having a time with your Father in heaven where you can pray and you can seek His face and you can talk to Him. You can share what is weighing on your heart and your mind, and you can bring it to your Father because you know your Father loves and cares for you. Just like your child can come to you and share with you. Just like a friend can come to you and share with you. Just like hopefully your spouse can come to you and share with you. You have a Father in heaven, and He invites us through prayer to come into His presence. Peter said, he said, cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to carry it alone. And a lot of times we carry it alone because we don't take time to go to the Lord in prayer and just to cast that on Him. God, here's what I'm doing. There is something powerful that happens. Let me tell you, there is something powerful and transformative that will happen when we genuinely, not just going, God, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about this and that's it, and we just go on. Like, you know, we haven't cast our anxiety on Him. We've just told Him about it. We're cast on. Throw it on Him. Give it to Him. Let Him deal with it. If it's too much for you, you give it to God and let Him deal with it. And you will be amazed at the peace that will come into your heart as you pray and you seek God and you cast your anxiety on Him, knowing that He cares for you. The third thing I would tell you to do, seek God's kingdom first, pray to your Father in heaven. The third thing I would tell you to do is hold tightly to God's promises. Hold them. Cling. You know that saying about grabbing a tiger by its tail? Man, let me tell you, grab a hold of the promises of God. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me, and I am clinging to that today, God. You said that you would be there no matter what I face and go through, that your grace is sufficient for each and every day, and I am clinging tightly to that. God, you said that you would supply all of my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus, and I'm holding tightly to what you said, and I'm coming to you in prayer, and I'm not coming before you going, you said you'd do this, and you'd say, I'm not doing that, but I'm coming before you humbly. And in faith, and I'm saying, God, you promised, and you are not one who would lie like a man. You are true to your word, and so I'm clinging tightly to what you have promised to me. And I am not letting go. Hold tightly to the promises of God. Fourth thing, seek God's kingdom, pray. Hold tightly to God's promises. And the fourth thing I would tell you to do is to count your blessings. Count your blessings. William Penn said this. He said, the secret of happiness to not worrying is to count your blessings while others are adding up their trouble. And this is so practical, it's so simple, but it's so true. That's what worry is. It's just adding up your trouble. Isn't it? I mean, and it just weighs you down. There's no happiness there. There's no, you know, so that's what worry does. And he says the secret is to count your blessings. Anybody like the movie White Christmas? There's a song that Bing Crosby sings in there. He says, when I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. And I fall asleep counting my blessings. And you know, it's funny because even spiritual principles can apply to almost everybody. There is something about when we begin to count our blessings, to count the good things that God has done for us, to count how He has cared for us, to remember how He has met our needs in the past, how He's been faithful and true. There is something about that when we begin to count our blessings. We begin to recite all that God has done for us and how He's been good to us, how He's blessed our life, how He has provided for us. There is something in there that happens, and suddenly our heart, instead of being filled with worry, begins to be filled with gratitude. Do you hear this? Instead of going, oh, I'm so, you know, God, thank you. Thank you that you provided for me in the past. Thank you that you are my help in a time of trouble. Thank you that you have blessed my life with good things. Thank you for the... See, because worry makes us focus, our focus narrows. But when we begin to count our blessings and gratitude begins to fill our heart, suddenly we're starting to see everything God has done for us. And here's the amazing thing that happens. Worry will give way to worship. where you were at a place where you were all bound up, tight, and concerned, and thinking God didn't care and love and wasn't going to meet your need in time, when you count your blessings, when you recite the blessings of God and all He has done for you, that worry will lead you into gratitude and eventually into worship. And the fifth thing, seek God's kingdom first. Pray to your Father in heaven. Hold tightly to the promises of God. Count your blessings. And the fifth thing is this. Share your burden with a friend. Because we are not called to do life alone. In an age where we are so connected digitally, people are feeling more and more disconnected. It's an amazing thing. Well, we're connected digitally, but we're disconnected relationally. We need one another. We are called to bear one another's burdens. And if I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm struggling, if there are things that are beginning to worry me, I need a friend that I can go to and say, here's what's going on. Here's what's happening in my life. Here's what I'm feeling inside. And I need someone to pray with me. I need you to pray with me. I need you to give me some good counsel. Listen, and if I've got my mind, and this happens to all of us, my mind gets out of order in thinking and priorities and stuff. I need that friend who can speak to me and be honest with me and say, listen, you're worrying and you're not trusting God. I had this happen. I had a friend talking with them, and they were like, oh, this. And I said, yeah, but, you know, God, blah, 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 blah. They were like, oh, yeah, but, oh. And I said, yeah, it was not quite Debbie Downer, but it wasn't far from it, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, God said, blah, 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 blah. And she said, well, yeah, but, And I just got irritated with it. I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm trying to encourage this person, and they're just not receiving any encouragement at all. And finally, I looked at him and I said, you're a pagan. And they looked at me, shocked. I can't believe you said that to me. How could you say that to me? I'm not a pagan. I said, I know you're not. I said, but you're acting like one. You're acting like God doesn't know and God doesn't care and that God won't provide. You weren't listening to what I said, so I had to take a spiritual baseball bat upside your head and get your attention. And now I got your attention and you understand what I'm saying. And hopefully you can see. And see, we need that in our lives. We need people who can speak into our lives. This is why we need a friend that we can share with, that we can talk to. And then not just I'm talking about a mature spiritual Christian. Someone who can encourage us and build us up in the faith, who can speak truth to us in love and help us on our spiritual journey. Does that make sense? Share your burden with a friend, because we are called to bear one another's burdens, to find strength, comfort, help, encouragement, and hope. God has set this up so that not only coming to Him, but coming to our brother and sister in Christ who can help us during the times where worry is starting to grab a hold of us. Because like I said, sometimes we don't even realize that worry has gripped us, that we're acting out of worry instead of in faith, that God knows, God cares, and God will provide. And I want you to know that today. Your Father in heaven loves you. He loves you. And if He provides for the birds of the air, if He provides for the lilies in the field, you're more valuable to Him than they are. And yet He takes care of them. Don't you think He's going to take care of you? Oh yeah, He will. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust His care. Trust His provision. Seek first His kingdom. And everything will be taken care of. See, when you get the right thing in order, everything else kind of falls into place. But you got to get the right thing first. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Amen? I want to pray for you. This morning, if you're dealing with something and worry has gripped you. Maybe you didn't even realize today, and now you're like, oh, that's what I've been doing. I've just been worrying. I've not been trusting God. I've been worrying. If that's you, listen, I gave you five things that you could do today that will help. Seek God's kingdom first, realizing that God loves you and he's cared for you, being confident in that. Second, pray to your Father in heaven. Third, hold tightly to the promises of God. Fourth, count your blessings. And five, share that burden with a friend. As we pray today, would you just decide in your heart you're going to take action? And first of all, pray and seek your Father in heaven today. And then if you need, after we get out of here, talk with someone. Share your burden with them, because we are here to bear one another's burdens. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and I am so thankful for the words of Jesus. And what a wonderful reminder of our Father in heaven and his care and his provision. Not just for birds, not just for the lilies, but his care and provision for us. What a joy it is to be your child, to know you as our Father in heaven. And we come to you today because, Father, there are things that weigh on our hearts and weigh on our minds. And thank you for this wonderful truth that if it matters to us, it matters to you. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how small. We can bring it to you in prayer. And you tell us to cast our anxiety on you because you care for us. And so, Father, I pray today, if there's anyone here that's struggling, that's dealing with worry, Father, maybe there's someone here that's a worry wart. God, would you just speak to them clearly today about your love, your care, your provision? May they know it. May they sense it as a reality in their heart and life. And may they walk out of this place today feeling that burden of worry lifted, knowing that you care for them. I thank you for that today, and I thank you for each and every one that is here, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.